Thanks, Penelope.
Right, my name's Arinda and I'm an addict.
Oh, it's just the nerves never get any less, ever. I have only just been asked to do, I think the old wire's a bit dodgy, so let's get that, because, you know, I don't want you not to be able to hear me or anything. But yeah, basically, I've just been asked to do this chair, and it's really funny because I got out of the tube and I was walking here and I thought, oh my God, I'm going to be asked to do the chair tonight. And I got asked to do the chair tonight, so here I am. So I don't know what that means, but there you go, here I am. So thank you, Shelley, for asking me to do the chair. It's always, I don't know if it's a pleasure, but it's always good to give back, you know what I mean? It's always good to share my journey. It's always good to be able to sit here and say I am clean. Narcotics Anonymous not only got me clean, it has enabled me to stay clean, and it has enabled me to have this amazing, wonderful life. Because I do have that, do you know what I mean? It's not easy, I have difficulties, I have a head that is full of negativity still, and life throws things, and it can be really, really tough. But working the program and having these wonderful principles, I can pause, I can stop, I can get stillness, I can be like, okay, what's going on? You know what I mean? What's going on? Breathe, take a minute. There is nothing I cannot handle, nothing. And I really, really mean that, absolutely nothing. I was thinking, oh, this is gonna be the first chair I don't get emotional, but of course I get emotional. When I first came to NA, I had tried to stop using a few times. I would get a day clean, I would get 2 days clean. Then the anxiety, the clucking would kick in, it would be really painful. And I probably wouldn't use because I couldn't move. And then as soon as I was able to move, I had to use. I had to use even though I didn't want to. And let's have it right, when I first started using drugs, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. It was amazing. I was part of the rave scene. I went, you know, whatever, it was great. And it was, you know, I felt incredible. I'm not gonna go through my whole life story because I haven't got time, but coming into recovery has given me a lot of retrospect and it's given me a lot of hindsight, and I've kind of looked at a lot of stuff. And when I was a kid, I felt really uncomfortable. I didn't feel okay, I didn't feel kind of I belonged, I just felt awkward in any given situation. I just didn't know where I wanted to be, how I wanted to be. I just wanted to be like everyone else, but not me. That's all I knew. I just did not want to be with me, and you know, and there's all sorts of stuff that I can pin that on. I can pin it on, you know, difficulties growing up. I can pin it on the fact that my mum had a lot of mental health. I can pin it on my dad always working. I can pin it on racism. I can pin it on all sorts of stuff. But that isn't what makes me an addict. I used it as fuel, for sure. But it's not what makes me an addict. And I don't know what makes me an addict. And I kind of don't care. I really don't care. I'm done with trying to figure it out. I really am. But I know I am one. Because when I come here, just like in that reading, there was a lot of we's going on. I get identification here. People struggle like I struggle. People have a negative head like I have. People have tried to stop using, but against their will, they've kept using. People have tried to make life decisions, not able to make them, baffled. Can't understand, why can I not make a simple decision? Why do I struggle with connecting with people? Why do I struggle with relationships? Why can I not find a connection with my mum, dad, brother, sister, friend, colleague, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever other thing? Do you know what I mean? And that's what I've struggled with my whole entire life. And somehow I patched something together. But when I came into NA, I'd really had enough. I'd had enough of trying to get clean, stay clean, trying to hold some sort of job together. I was done with distancing myself and my family, my friends. You know, my world had become really isolated. I was in a very codependent relationship. We were both using addicts, and we fought a lot unless we were using, because then we were really in love. And then we were going to try and give up using together. And we, I, what I did, I don't know if he did this, but I would hide the drugs from him, take a little bit, you know, and all of that sort of stuff, and watch how he, how much he put on the pipe and how much he put on the foil, and thought, I'm not getting that much internally, and not saying anything. As soon as out the room, you know, scraping a little bit off for myself, and you know, all of that sort of stuff, and that real kind of. And it's just sad. It's just really sad when you think you really love someone, and all you're doing is watching what they're doing like an animal, and then taking like an animal. And you've stopped eating, you've stopped looking after yourself, you barely can shower because your skin hurts when you're under the shower because it's like needles in your skin. We all know what that's like. So when I came in, I didn't want to be here. I judged everyone in the room and thought, oh my God, how did I arrive here? And it was my therapist, actually, that I went into therapy because I knew I needed to get out of the relationship, and B, I needed to stop using drugs, and I knew it was going to get worse, you know what I mean? I just knew I'd kind of had enough, and I was really scared of where it was going to go next. And I had started therapy sessions, and I'd gone to the therapy session stoned. I'd kind of used gear, and I was in there kind of like out of it, and she had such a go at me. She literally was like, this is a professional space, this is a safe space, you cannot come here out of your mind on drugs. And I was like, but I'm struggling to stay clean. And she sort of said, you know, I think you might be an addict. I was like, no, I'm not an addict. And the reason I said that is because I worked in the drugs field. I worked in a tier two drug service. I was a drugs worker. And I was studying to do a social work degree, which I epically failed because I couldn't get any control over my using. And I did that because I chopped and changed jobs so much. I have no education, I have no formal education, I was a nightmare at school. I caused havoc. I was too busy using drugs in the toilets. And school was a social event, actually, for me. It wasn't about education. I was very rebellious and I hated the system. And I don't think I've sworn yet. Have I sworn? Oh my God, amazing. I don't think I've sworn. This is great. This is growth for me. And basically, I thought I'd do this degree because it would do something or make me someone. But I couldn't, my using was just really, it was bad, and I, you know, anyway, and so I had a part-time job in the drugs field because I worked in the social work field anyway, and I got this job, and so, you know, I thought I knew it all, I was not an addict, I worked with addicts, trust me, I was not an addict, so I was quite mortified that she told me this, but it planted a seed. She was like, you know, maybe you should go to Narcotics Anonymous, and she mentioned another fellowship, and I was like, don't be so silly. No, I just need to stop class A drugs and I'll be fine. I just need to drink alcohol and smoke weed, which is what I've done for a number of years. Which, you know, isn't entirely, you know, I knew, I'm kind of a bit back and forth, but when I was 17, when I was going raving, I was doing about 11, 12 pills a night, and I was then leaving to go home to Freebase on my own. So I knew I wasn't right. So I tried to stop class A drugs for a couple of years. Didn't last very long, and the progression was very slow. But I want to say, actually I stayed off class A for about 8 years maybe, but I obsessed about everyone else's use of class A drugs in that 8 years. I judged everyone. I was like, oh, you shouldn't be using like that. You shouldn't be taking that much coke. It's really bad. But I drank a lot, and I smoked copious amounts of weed every single day, first thing in the morning until last thing at night. I even woke up in the middle of the night to smoke weed. So I understand my addiction as I obsessed, the obsessive nature of it, whether that's about not using or judging others for using or being preoccupied with it a lot, because I was, that's still the nature of addiction for me. Because I was really scared of how I was when I was 17, 18. I didn't want that to happen again, so I was very, very controlled and tried to micromanage everything in my life. And when I say micromanage everything, I might have put down class A's, but I tried to micromanage my life everywhere else. Relationships, work, like everywhere. And I was depressed most of the time, practically. I fixed on sex. I've had outrageous behaviour in all sorts of areas, and I was always, you know, I would go from feeling okay to absolutely on the floor, in my kitchen, in the fetal position, crying and not understanding why I wanted to kill myself. And that's not using class A drugs, do you know what I mean? So then, you know, I kind of get this illness in a whole other level now. Anyway, so kind of coming back into recovery, and I've got my train of thought wherever I was. Thanks, Penelope. Oh my God, 5 minutes. So when I got here, I didn't want to be here, but she planted a seed. Anyway, a series of events got me into a meeting. I didn't want to be in that meeting, and I was not like everyone else. I was seeing all the differences and all the similarities. Second meeting I went to, the only thing I remember from that meeting was, I thought, I'm not like any of you guys. And the other thing I heard was, one is too many and 1,000 never enough. That totally sucker punched me in the gut, and I got it. I didn't want to get it, but I got it. I knew exactly what that meant for me. And I went to a meeting the following day, and there was a woman who did the chair, and she was talking. She talked a lot about masks. Still remember it to this day, and I've not been around a long time or anything, but you know, I've been around more than a decade, and I got it. I got what she said, and her feelings and her thoughts and everything, and I just was crying in this meeting. I was crying and crying. I thought, oh my God, maybe I belong here. I was like, no. Then I quickly was like, no. Let's just do this for a little while. And anyway, I then ended up getting into a relationship with somebody who was in the rooms to get out of the one I was in, because that's what I knew, that was my old behaviour. To get out of one, I'd get into another one, because I could not tell anybody I couldn't be with them anymore, because they'd kill themselves, obviously, because I'm so important, it would be awful, and I'm totally responsible for somebody else's life. So I got into this relationship, and then the guilt really kind of screwed with my head. Didn't swear, well done. Really messed with my head, and so then I had to finish the relationship. And I finished the relationship and was in this messy one, and he told me he loved me after 2 weeks, so I told him I loved him back, because again, if I didn't do that, it would be awful. And he would hate me, and he would probably kill himself. I mean, I laugh about it, but that kind of intrinsic codependency that exists in me as an addict, I don't know if you have it, you may, I don't know, you'll discover it whether you do or not. I have it, and I have to do a lot of work on that, to own my truth, have boundaries, and not take care of other people and expect other people to take care of me. So, I kind of have to kind of race through this, but recovery has taught me so much. Like, it's taught me so much. I spent 9 months picking up key rings, and I wasn't clean. I was drinking alcohol and smoking weed, and then eventually I found myself scoring, not wanting to, against my will, and I did, and I used, and I cried, and I thought, I don't want to do this. I'd rather be dead. I'd rather be dead. And that was a lot of what the last few years of my using was like. I just wanted to die. I really did. I just didn't want to live anymore. And I went to a meeting, asked for help. Somebody put me up for a commitment who I wanted to kill in that very moment. Because I had so much pride, I took the commitment, and it kept me clean. I turned up because I have pride. I turned up because I have pride. I made sure that I was the best literature person in the world. And you know, people held me. You know, people on that committee held me. They listened to my nonsense. I still talk a lot of it now. But it got me through. And this meeting, actually, my first year clean, I started coming to this meeting. And I loved it because it was so busy. You could get lost in it. And that was perfect for me. And I loved watching all the madness and stuff like that. And, you know, I have a lot of love for this room. And there's people here that I know. Ollie, who was here at my first meeting in this room, and you know, that there's people here, Penelope as well, and you know, I've grown in NA so much. I cannot tell you how much I've grown, my God. Not only do I not use, I have healthy relationships. I don't fix on things. I mean, I can go a bit mad on sugar every now and then. I mean, look, I've done the whole thing. I was addicted to porn for the first year. It was really painful on all sorts of levels. I had to draw a bottom line. I knew I couldn't get into a relationship. I had to be really careful around that stuff. And I've learned so much around every interaction I've had, whether it be friendship, with my family, with sponsors, with other recovering addicts. Like, I've learned something in every given, all of it. And I'm really really proud of myself, actually, because I've changed my life around so much. I change career, I do something I really love. It scares the hell out of me every time I do it, but I love it. I've stopped seeking affirmation from outside. I mean, I do still do it, and then I think, oh my God, why did you do that? And then I think, okay, I take everything internally, and I don't mean like a typical addict, go internally and batter yourself, and oh my God. I mean, I do a bit of that, actually. But I mean, this is the thing with recovery. It's like I still live with the negativity. I still live with that horrible stuff. But what I also have is, deeper down with my relationship, my higher power, and doing my meditation, I kind of know I'm all right. I kind of know that if you really ask the question, you really listen to your inner self, you're going to get the right answer, and you will do the right thing, and I will stop seeking affirmation, and I will know intuitively what to do that is good for me and good for those around me. And they might not like everything that I do, but I'm not doing anything bad. And what recovery has also helped a lot with, I connect to human beings, and through that connection I don't have the shame that I had my whole entire life. And you know, I had this sense of shame my whole life, and it was always about a lack of connection. So drugs gave me that connection to the outside world and to others. I've got to finish up, haven't I? Yeah, Penelope's looking at me like, okay. But you know, having the ability to connect, and I've had to do the everything in recovery is very paradoxical. I've had to connect to myself first. Because if I can't sit with self, I'm not going to be able to sit with any of you. Forget it. I can't. I won't be able to look in your eyes. I won't be able to have an honest conversation. So I've had to go into the deepest, darkest part of myself, and I have gone there. Believe you me, I have gone there. And sometimes I don't like what I hear. I don't like what I see. I know what I'm capable of. The rage, the anger, the vileness, the self-hatred, self-loathing. But by going there and looking at what I'm seeking is usually love, but I've never known how to get it. So I take care of that within myself. And through that, I have a massive, and I'm telling you, a massive capacity for love. Huge, huge, and I don't say this lightly. Do you know what I mean? And that knowing has helped me to try and make good decisions and right decisions and wait for the right things or the right people or the right moments or whatever it is. I don't know what else to say other than, if you're new around, please stick around. Please, 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 if you're not new and you're struggling, just delve deep. Don't stop doing this work, because you will find so many, you'll find a fountain of gold and beauty and wonder, and it's amazing.
Thank you.